hit the wrong button. Okay, so let's just kind of do a little, I want to hear from you guys. What have you gotten out of this first lesson? Anything? What have we kind of gone over? Any suggestions? Yes, ma'am.
Far behind everybody else or not, but just, you know, to be able to keep in mind that I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I mean, and it's not, even though I know I still have sin nature and I'm probably going to.
Exactly.
It's not something that I need to just accept that I'm a sinner and I'm going to go sin, you know.
Right.
That God has given me the Holy Spirit to uphold me and to give me the resources to
exactly.
stay away from sin if I choose to do that.
Right. We still have a choice and he still gives us a choice, but we have some practical help now, I think. We have some understanding that this isn't something that we have to in the sound room. On the shelf in the sound room, you can get her a book.
Sure.
Yeah, they're on the shelf in the sound room.
Sure.
The books. Everybody has a book? Y'all still have your book? Okay. And the putting off and the putting on, y'all understand that concept? Because it's throughout the Bible. And it's such a wonderful thing once you get a handle on that. If you're getting rid of something in your life that you know is wrong, you need to find a good alternative for it. You need to replace your music with better music. You need to replace what you read with better stuff that you read. The things you watch on television, the things that you talk about, places that you go. You know, it's an encompassing aspect of our lives that we have to constantly be aware of. Because when I was first saved, I only had so much knowledge. And so the things I was putting away and bringing into my life were not necessarily as good of choices as I make now as I've grown in the Lord. And so it's one of those things, the more you mature, the more you learn, the more you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you refine them. You make those choices better. And you go through a house cleaning again and say, okay, you know, this was okay for, all right, you know, it's not like it's bad, but it's not the best choice that I should have made. So now I know more, so I'm going to fix that. So that's always a good thing to just kind of, it's like a house cleaning kind of, sometimes we have to do that and go through and weed out, get rid of stuff that we don't need in our lives too. And being, one thing that this chapter showed me was that yielding to the Holy Spirit, I need to listen to Him. I need to be aware of Him talking to me. And if we're always busy and always doing something, we can't hear His voice. We're not paying attention because we're doing so many things. We have to take time to be still and quiet and listen to the Lord. And that's a big help. And that, it's like I knew that, but it was just nice to reflect on that again, that I need, that He's always there and He wants the best for me. And we're going to go over page 13. The last time that we met, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I just want you to, this kind of gives you a meaning for these sins that the Lord lists in His word. And we all had and still have the chance, the opportunity to commit these sins because we're still sinners. But having a knowledge of them and keeping them, you know, when I'm in the forefront of your mind, but you having an awareness of how they can lead us down the wrong paths is a benefit. On page 14, all of these sins that are on 13 can be categorized into sections, I should say. And on the first one, number A, immorality, impurity, and sensuality, they're all what's called a sexual sin, where strife and jealousy and wrath and envyings are with our personal relationships. They affect how we deal with other people, where the other ones affect us individually. The sexual sins, they're more of a personal, where you can be jealous of someone and you can hide it. That's still affecting you, but when you let that out, it affects someone else. And then the drunkenness and revelings are a social sin because they're committed out in the public, or they're more out in the open. Those kinds of sins, it's kind of hard to, you can hide being a someone that consumes alcohol and do it in the confines of your home and no one ever knows about it, but eventually it's going to come out because the need for it is going to overtake your life. And it's eventually where some of these, like, you know, being envious of someone and covetous and things like that, those are kind of, you can internalize those and you can keep those to yourself and put on a smile and, you know, oh, I love you and look how pretty you look today. And all the while in your head, you're, you know, it's like, oh, she got another new dress, you know, it's one of those things, and it may not be a new dress. She just may never have worn it before. You know, it could have been a 15-year-old dress that she's had hanging in the closet, and she couldn't wear it before. You don't know that. So, so those are things that we have to kind of, you know. But if you can put them in little groupings, they help.
B, I missed B, didn't I?
Those are religious sins. Idolatry and sorcery, those are in a religious nature. Those have to do with how we look at God and who God is. If, you know, being idolatrous or having you know, witchcraft, all of those kinds of things are go against who God is. And so those are in a religious nature. Now, Galatians 5:24. Let's go there real quick, and then I want to go over this other thing that I have given out to you. Can't find Galatians, but here we go. Galatians 5:24. Miss Bev, can you read that for me?
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts.
Go ahead and read 25.
Oh, and sorry, 25. I read the wrong one.
Okay.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Okay, so question 15 says, how can we yield to the Holy Spirit's control rather than to the control of the flesh? It's basically, we have to crucify the flesh, like it says in verse 24. We have to take, we're not in control. We have to give the control of our life, our day, our hour, however you have to do it. If it's, you know, several times during the day, you have to say, okay, Lord, I give up. I'm not in control anymore. You're in control. But that's something that we have to do on a continual basis to be able to not only yield to the Holy Spirit, but to be able to hear Him and to hear His guidance and His direction and those kinds of things. But how do we do that? We can't put ourselves on the cross. So how do we interpret that crucifying the flesh? Any thoughts? That's a good one. What about what we're doing?
Studying.
But also being at church is a very big part of our daily. We're not here every day, but we have a church full of people that we love each other, we pray for each other, and it's evident. You see it all the time. Like Miss Bev just said, as many people as were praying for her, the outcome was what she was hoping for. It's not finished, but it's a start. So the more that those kinds of things are presented to where people can help you, the better it is, because then we're united, we're all have a common goal, we're all striving to be better in our walk with the Lord, and all of that helps us to yield to the Holy Spirit more than we did before. And so being in the scriptures, prayer, fellowship, and it makes us less likely to yield to those temptations to sin if we stay close together and we stay in God's word and we stay focused on what it is that He wants in our lives. And Romans, well, then that's all in Romans 6 that we read before, but Romans 12:1, it says to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, so we all have this concept of, they sacrificed all the time in the Old Testament. Sometimes I get this really weird pictures about the whole, all of, just the more you read the Old Testament, and it's like, it had been such a bloody mess everywhere. It was, it really, seriously, it just had to have been so stinky and horrible. But it was like a continual thing that they did. It was all the time. So that's not what he wants us to do, but a living sacrifice. So that's in how we think, how we act, how we, when we're saved, we have a new nature. So we need to embrace that. We need to make sure that that's evident in how we think, what we do, where we go. And so, in a way, every day we're making a sacrifice to ourselves, to our flesh, our sin nature. We're making a sacrifice every day by saying, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. And if we think of it in that aspect, Lord, I'm giving you a part of me away. I want you to control me. I want you to take care of me. I want you to guide me and keep my thoughts, keep my heart. Don't let me be tempted, because the temptation doesn't come from Him, but He can keep us away from it. He can keep Satan at bay if we ask Him. We just, like Brother Farnham was saying, we so think we can do and be such a big help to God. It's like, since when are we, all that we can, we can compare with what God can do? But but we fall into it all the time. I got this, God. I'm good. We can get out, you know. I'll let you know. But we need to change that way of thinking. We need to kind of get out of that. And so it asks us a question. Have we done that? Have we given ourselves to the Lord? I can honestly say I've tried at times, but to fully yield Him control of every aspect of my life is hard. It's hard. It's not something that you can do once and say, okay, I did that. It's something that you're going to have to, it's something you have to work on all the time. Because just like Brother Farnham said, your sin nature's not going anywhere. You can have a better control over it, but it's still going to be there. You're going to fight with it until you're in heaven. So, you know, it's just one of those things. We're going to fight with it till we get to heaven. We're never going to gain control over it, but we can give God more control than what we do. And so that's kind of the synopsis of this chapter. We're going to go into chapter 2 next week. And it's about self-esteem, which the world is very much into all of that. But before we get into that, the little paper I gave you, I want to go over the scriptures that are on that little paper. This is something that we got from the ladies' retreat that we went to. And I was so excited when we all of a sudden we got... What are you looking for, Miss Sherman?
I'm just looking for my copy. Thank you.
Well, I don't know.
Put it there. But it's okay.
If you find it, we got it.
No, ma'am, you don't. No, I got it. I got it. I found it. Yeah.
Everybody got one of these? Okay.
Yeah, I put it there.
Did you?
Okay, so I want to start with Sharon, and let's just go around and take a verse. Okay, so this is something I want you to hang up on your fridge. I want you to carry it with you. I want you to just hold on to this, because we say all of these things to ourselves every day. Okay, we say these, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do, this is an impossible task, it can't be done. Okay, that's our first one. But Sharon's going to tell us what God says in Luke 18:27.
And He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God.
There we go. So there you can say that verse to yourself if you think something's, just like Miss Bev, she probably thought this was going to be an impossible task to go up there and get all of this stuff done. But she could hold on to this promise that God went with, God was already knew of the outcome of this. I mean, He was well aware of the whole situation. Okay, this is a good one. I'm too tired. So, Courtney,
Matthew 11:28.
There we go. Come unto me. The wonderful verse where He's just waiting for us to do that. I'm too tired to do this. I need help, Lord. That's what He says. Come unto me. I'll carry it. He's got really big shoulders, guys. He can carry everybody's burden at the table. All at the same time. And He has more room to spare. So, Miss Bev, nobody really loves me.
How? John 3:16.
Exactly.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And 1 John 3:10-11.
Yes.
In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this
I write this down wrong.
What? Am I in the wrong place?
No, I'm just...
It says 1 John 3:10-11.
I know.
For this is the message that you hear from the beginning, that we should love one another.
Oh, I was doing this last night, so it's like my brain was probably not functioning really well. Yeah, I was looking for another verse that had, but that one's good too. God loves us so much that he died for us. So, and I know that this is one of the aspects of how I came to know the Lord is realizing how much he loved me, and nobody was going to love me as much as the Lord did, and I couldn't understand why, and I had a hard time accepting why, because I didn't like myself, and I didn't understand. I knew my mother loved me, I knew my father loved me, but it was different. It still had to do with my perspective on myself. And when I found out that God would have died for me if I'd been the only person here, and I couldn't deal with that, and it's like, why? And I couldn't not accept what he was giving me. And so I know that God loves me, and it's okay. Nobody else does. That's okay. Because he does.
You,
oh, good. Thank you. Okay, so can't figure things out, Miss Reva.
Yeah, I can't go on.
I mean, can't go on. Yeah, sorry.
A second. And he said unto me,
12:9.
That's what I'm reading.
Okay.
Okay. See it. Now, there we go. She's keeping us on our toes. There we go.
My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And we have Psalms 91:15-16.
Yes.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Hey, wow, that's awesome. Isn't that a good one?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's the eyes. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. I will do this for you. I will, I will, I will. It's just so wonderful. Yes, I really like that verse. Okay, Miss Andrea, I can't figure things out.
I will direct your steps on Proverbs
3:5-6.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy steps.
There we go. See? There we go. Just what we were talking about. But we have to ask him. That's the key. We have to ask him, and he will do it. Because he's not going to lie. The board says he's going to do it. So the choice is ours to make. It's not his to make for us. We have to make this decision on our own. All right, Ms. Charmaine?
Yes.
Can I make a quick comment?
Yes.
I really believe strongly in God's guidance. And I believe if you ask... At least for me, I ask for God's guidance, you know, many times during the day, and I truly believe that He does direct my path, and He puts things in front of me and takes other things away from me that, you know, if I hadn't asked for His guidance, those things would be there.
Possibly.
And then I would, you know, maybe be going like this instead of, and I really kind of believe that.
Yeah. I remember someone said that we're on a pathway, and as you walk on a pathway, you see little stones and you see bigger stones, and there's big obstacles. What you choose to do with those obstacles is when you ask the Lord. You either use the little stepping stones to step over the issues. You got a big mountain in front of you or a big rock in front of you. Do you go around it, or do you ask God's help in going over it to stay on the path? It's all in how we, you know, look at things. Hey, Julie, the apples that are in there, those little cups, the apples go in those little cups. No. Tamara put in with the apples some little cups to use for the apples. They're probably in the refrigerator, yeah. Okay. Okay, so you got I can't do it.
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me.
That was our homeschool verse.
That was my grad school verse.
We claimed that verse for homeschooling because it was like, there's no way I can do this. You know, and it's like, and especially the older they got, and I'm like, I didn't even do this in school. What the heck can I do this? It's like, but then I went through high school 3 times, so here we go. Okay, Miss Kathy, can you read 2 Corinthians 9:8?
Yes.
Okay.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
There we go. There's more help we get. Gloria, can you read Romans 8:28?
Yes. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose.
There we go. And that's a really cool song. I'm not going to sing it for you, but it's a good one.
Yes, it is.
Tanya, I can't. Wait a minute. Where am I at? Yes, I can't forgive myself.
1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
There we go. And 8:1, Romans 8:1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
There we go. We have hope when we do things that God doesn't like. We have hope in the fact that we can gain His forgiveness, and it's all washed away, and it's all clean, and we're all new again. It shouldn't be a license because we have that option, but it's a wonderful thing to know when I fall, God is not going to condemn me. God's not going to say, don't want nothing to do with you anymore. And that helps because we're harder on ourselves than He is. Because we have the hard time with saying, I can't forgive myself for doing this. When you've asked for forgiveness, it needs to be gone. We just have a hard time forgetting it and wiping it away like He does. But He can take that away from us as well. All right, Miss Carlene, I'm afraid.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
There we go. Yes. And if I'm so glad you got to read that verse. I know, it just, that is so good.
That's for me.
That's for you. All right. Yes. 1 Peter 5:7. I'm always worried and frustrated.
Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Exactly. Just like we're talking about his big shoulders, he says, you know, my grace is sufficient. Give it to me. I'm not smart enough, Courtney. Yep, Ephesians 1:17. That one's good. Can't find it though, but there we go. Yeah, James, I found this one this morning. I was like, I didn't like the other one she had written down, so I changed it. James 1. There we go. If any of you lack wisdom, if any of us lack just about anything, who do we ask? We ask God for it. God will give it to us. If we need help in, like, I've been praying a lot, God, please make me stop coughing, because I don't have any more strength to cough anymore. Okay, so we did that one. I feel all alone, Miss Bev. We got two left. Let's get these done.
Hebrews 13:5. Five and six. Okay. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
Amen. There we go. Amen. We like that one. Okay, Miss Reba, you got the last one. I can't manage.
But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen. See? Such good things for us. All right, ladies.